This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
I did not hit her. It's bullshit. I did not. Hi, Nick.
Oh, my Lord Almighty. No? Horrible.
Not a fan of the room?
Horrible.
I was so excited last night when we were talking to Travis.
And except my buddy did go to a screening of that in L.A., and he has a picture with that one guy.
Oh, Tommy Wiseau.
Yes.
God,
yes.
I'm jealous.
And he looks as big of a douchey as I expected him to look.
Oh,
so
God, yes.
Your portrayal is pretty spot on for
Wait,
Eddie.
I can't believe you've never seen the movie. You've got to see it.
I have no interest in seeing bad movies. Even movies that are like, this is so bad, it's hilarious. I have no interest.
We are so excited. We want to, I think when it comes out, we're going to buy.
Ah, oh, feeding into it.
Say what?
Feeding into it. Feeding into the issue.
Yes, yes, yes. Reagan's here. Reagan's very excited for The Room. Right, Reagan? Reagan Jeez. Loves The Room. It's her favorite movie.
Is she going to be cosplaying as any of the characters during the con season this year?
God, that'd be
Ask her. I want to know.
She left The Room.
You know, why do you tease me with the 10 seconds with Reagan?
Look, she just came down. She hasn't been feeling well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she hasn't
That's
been feeling
good.
Well.
Dang it. She's supposed to feel really good on the week. Tell her she's supposed to feel really good on the weekend. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that's when she's off of school.
Well, you know, they were off of school most of last week because of the quote unquote snow.
Oh, Snowmageddon.
Yes. Snowmageddon 28. I mean, we had like a whole quarter inch. Nick.
Less than us. But I remember living in Oklahoma and all it would take is sleet. And people freak the hell out. But guess what? In Oklahoma, there's no winter tires. People don't have shovels. People don't have salt to throw it at. Like,
yeah.
They're completely ill-prepared. So that's why, like, guess what? A quarter of an inch or an inch of snow? Oh, my God. It is Armageddon down there. They have no clue how to drive.
That's true. But here's the thing, Nick. I mean, you know, I'm in the South, dude. Everybody has a pickup truck.
Yeah. I get it, but I mean, you don't know, like, you know how when the car when the truck goes, like, what is it called? Hydroplaning.
Hydroplaning, yeah.
Like, you know what to do then, but ice is completely different than hydroplaning. Ice and snow. So, you know, people aren't, they don't sit through driver's ed and see, like, this is what you do when you hit ice or snow.
Yeah, I guess you're
right. I mean, that's some scary stuff. It's easy for, like, people in, you know, the North to be making fun of it, but no, that's the real deal.
Well, I mean, I grew up in the North, so I make fun of it.
Of course you do. But now you drink moonshine and make fun of it.
That's funny. I'm drinking gin and tonic right now out of a mason jar.
Ooh, that's the way to do it.
That's right.
I'm drinking my water out of a mason jar.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, my gin and tonic looks like water.
Yeah, that's what you tell the daughter. But then you're like, don't drink out of daddy's mason jar.
No,
I have a cold.
I've told you that story with Zoe, right? When Zoe had whiskey?
No.
I think she was, she had to be like two or three.
Ooh.
So, I mean, she was walking. She was talking. You know, the little kids can't talk for her. So, anyways, I was on the phone with somebody. And she was with me. It was after her mom and I split up. And so I was getting her on the weekends. And she was mm-hmm. she was at my house. And I was drinking Jack and Coke, and we were outside, and she's like, "I want a drink." So, you know, and I got her some water. Came out, she drank it, and I'm on the phone, Jack and Coke, and she's like, "Daddy, I want to try your drink." And I was like, "No, Zoe, you can't have this. This is a grown up drink." And she repeats it. She's like, "Daddy, it looks like Coke. I want some Coke. Look, I'll get you some Coke, but you can't have this Coke. This is Daddy's Coke." Episode title. This is Daddy's Coke. She's like, "No, I want your Coke." And she starts getting angry. And, you know, kids, they throw tantrums.
Yes.
So, finally I was like, you know what? Fine.
You could tell she was losing it in about 3 minutes if you didn't do something about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? Fine, Zoe. Have some of Daddy's Coke. So I give it to her. She smells it. She's like, "It smells funny." I said, "I told you, you don't want to drink it." So she gives it back to me. I'm on the phone. Walking around, she's playing out in the yard. Put my drink down, and turn around. I think I went to light up a cigarette or something. I'm not even paying attention. And all of a sudden, I hear, yuck! And I look down, and Zoe had grabbed my Coke, decided to taste it, even though it smelled bad.
And she'll show you.
Yeah, she'll show me. And a Jack and Coke showed her. So then, yes. Then she starts crying because her mouth burns. And blah, blah, blah. Yep. And I'm like, oh, come on, quit being a baby. And that's the story of when Zoe had Coke.
Yeah, I don't see why you would ever stop a child at that age. Like, it'd be a big difference if they were in high school. But, like, anything below high school, like, my parents used to leave their alcoholic beverages around. And every time I would try it, it never got better. It still tasted like garbage.
See, that's interesting. So, growing up, my dad was a Heineken man. Old Nelson. Nelson loves the Heineken. Not so much now. He's gotten older. He doesn't like
What's his preferred drink now?
He drinks piss now. He likes the Corona.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, back in the day, Nelson was cool. Nelson used to drink Heinekens. And, I mean, they would let me have some, but it would never be like, okay, like, you want to take a sip of the beer? That's fine. Like, he would pour a little bit in a cup and pour, like, a little bit of Coke. You know, because Coke just makes everything better.
Sure.
I remember actually, you know what? That with wine, too. I think I've told this story a few times. I lived with my grandparents for a year.
Mm-hmm.
My maternal grandparents. And my grandfather he grew grapes. He had a vineyard in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't huge, but he had it because he liked to make wine. So my grandfather made homemade wine from actual grapes, like old school, in a bucket. And little Martin would go into the bucket and step on the grapes.
Yes.
And every night, before bed, he would give me like a little shot of wine. Just, you know, so I can go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that kind of thing was never frowned upon in my family. Like, kids were allowed to have a little bit of booze, but it had to be mixed with Coke. No matter what it was, it had to be mixed with Coke.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, ours was never mixed with Coke, so my point is my parents knew how gross I would think it is. And then I would just be like, I don't really want that. No, thank you. Mm. But thanks for offering. Like, they never sweetened it up with Coke, you know?
Yeah. We're talking about cola, not cocaine. Yeah.
No. Good God, no. My dad wouldn't know what that is if you hit him with a bag of it.
I mean, if you hit him with it, he might realize what it is.
Yeah, he would think it's flour.
So, yeah, the good old days.
Yes.
But, yeah. Coke and Heineken. He liked Beck's, too, because Beck's is kind of similar.
Not to Heineken. Sure.
Close. They're, like, Northern European pilsners.
Yeah, my dad was a Pabst Blue Ribbon or Falstaff beer. Yes.
Shameful.
Mm-hmm.
Shameful. That's like piss of beers.
Oh, God, yeah. And he still drinks. He'll Bud Light, Miller Lite, like that. He's that audience.
Like Ronnie. Ronnie drinks all that, what's he drink? PBR? No, Natty Lights.
Yes.
Not any better.
Not for me.
But see,
that's all right.
You're a little different, though. You're one of those pinky up beer drinkers.
Oh, yeah. I'm very snobby with my beer.
Mm.
Like, even if it's free, I won't drink it. If it isn't, like, crafty enough for me, I just won't drink it. No, thank you.
So I've tried to do that, but I can't.
Mm.
Because like some of those craft beers, dude, it's like, you know, $10, $12, $15, $20 for like, I don't know, what size are they? They're not 20 ounce, they're bigger. Like 32s, maybe?
Yeah, it's like the size of like a wine bottle.
Yeah, I mean, they're not quite 40s.
But yeah, it's a bomber.
They're biggers, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you can go to Whole Foods and get them.
Yep.
But they're like, you know, $12, $15 for 30 ounces of beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not spending that. If I'm going to spend $15 on something, it's going to be something that'll get me drunk for a while. You know what I mean?
I get you.
Like, I get the taste thing. I think that might be what it is, right? Like, there's a difference between regular beer and craft beer, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe some people just don't have the taste for it, so they just drink piss beer. But you,
I think some people want the drunk part of it, and they don't really care what they're drinking. It's either a monetary thing just let me buy as much beer for this amount of money, or it's I want to get ripped a little bit. I want to be tipsy. And it's usually not that for me. That's why when I go to like a baseball game and all there is Bud Light and Miller Light, I will not be drinking. No, thank you. Even if it's free. Just because I don't care for alcohol enough to drink something that I don't really enjoy.
No, that makes sense.
I wasn't like even in college, I wasn't a big drinker.
Yeah.
It just was never part of me. So that's why I'm a little pinky up, I guess.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I'm that way with cheese, Nick.
Oh, nice.
I'm one of those people. I love a good tasting beer. You know, like I'll go to Trader Joe's or something. Yeah. Trader Joe's has really good beer, by the way.
And it's pretty cheap for what you get.
Yeah, it's really cheap for what you get. And it's really good.
Yeah, real flavorful.
I don't know if they still sell that. What's the one that I liked?
The hibiscus. Yes.
The last few times I've been up there, they don't have it.
Yeah, I think that was a seasonal.
That's shameful.
I know. It was really good.
but I'm that way with cheese, man. Like, the stinkier the cheese, the better.
Same here. The more funky, the better.
Yeah.
And no matter however the cheesemonger or, like, especially we'll go to, like, not street carnivals, but, like, farmers markets over the weekend in the summer.
Yeah.
So there's always cheese guys there, local cheese merchants. Mm. And even when they're describing it, honest to God, you couldn't describe it bad enough for me to be like, I don't even want to try that. Like, I am so on board with trying the most funky, gross stuff. I don't even care. Does it taste good? Is it creamy? Is it really funky? Yes, yes, yes. I'll take it all.
So I found the recipe for blue cheese cheesecake.
Oh, that sounds good.
And I'm really tempted because there's two things that I love in this world. I mean, aside from comics and my family, there's two things that I love in this world. Number one, blue cheese. Number two, cheesecake.
So you could have said two things in this world that I can eat.
Well, I mean, I could have said
that. I love in this world, yes. So you didn't have to discount the family.
Well, I'm not discounting them. That's why I threw in that, you know, that thing in there.
Gotcha.
But I just want to hyperbolize. Is that a word? I just made it up. I wanted to hyperbolize.
You're phasing in and out, buddy.
Oh, am I?
Yeah. I don't know what you did.
I didn't do anything.
Are you sure you didn't get up and walk around?
No, I'm positive. So, yes, blue cheese and cheesecake. Love them. My favorite kind of cheesecake is French cheesecake.
Oh, what's that like?
French cheesecake, it's very soft and creamy. It's got enough consistency to hold together. But, you know, cheesecake, typical cheesecake is a little bit dry, I would say, right?
Yeah, especially New York cheesecake.
Yeah, New York cheesecake is not like, I mean,
that's usually the standard.
There's enough cream in there, but it's almost like gritty.
Yeah.
French cheesecake is not like that. French cheesecake is like, it's a little bit thicker than the consistency of like an eclair.
Gotcha. Yeah, my mom used to make, and I know this is sacrilege, but just hear me out, because we were pretty low rent. My mom used to make cheesecake out of the box, and it was Jell-O brand cheesecake.
Oh, that stuff is good, dude.
Like I said, call me low rent, but that is like the soft consistency that I'm guessing is what a French cheesecake is.
Even softer.
Like it's almost a pudding.
Yes.
Almost a pudding. Oh, dude, I would give you one, and I think we've talked about this before. I'm a pie guy, and cheesecake falls under pie because it's in a pie tin. What?
Hank pie?
Oh, yeah. Just I'll pull up the picnic blanket, and I would eat that all day. But no, pie is one of those things that I could eat until – like I am basically a four-year-old. I could eat it until I vomit.
I like it.
Like, it left to my own, and even Liz knows, like, do not leave a pie in the fridge. If you're going to bring home pie, bring home one slice because, you know, Nick's going to eat it. And God forbid somebody gives us, like, here's four slices because she knows when she goes upstairs, I'm eating all four.
Sure.
And and cheesecake, same way, even though that's so much more rich and decadent, doesn't matter. I'm eating until I throw up. I would serve you one piece And I could sit down with the 3/4 of the rest of that cheesecake and completely devour that.
But I got to tell you, I love me some New York cheesecake. However, it is nowhere near the best cheesecake. French cheesecake, it's where it's at. And it's got, I don't know what they put. It's like crumbled graham crackers maybe on top. But like really fine. I don't know. They put something on top.
Nice. But I like the sound of blue cheese in it, though. Sounds real nice.
So here's my dilemma. Because I want to try this. I love blue cheese. I love cheesecake. But there's something, I have this weird thing about mixing foods into desserts.
What?
Into desserts.
Okay, so not mixing food, period.
No. My wife is like that. Heather is really bad about that.
I know plenty of people. Like one of my ex-coworkers, we would go out to eat, and he would eat only one thing at a time.
All right,
so he has to finish all his fries before eating his sandwich, and then he would eat all of his sandwich, and then he would eat whatever else is next. And he did this every day, and I was even like, "Why don't you mix it up a little bit?" He goes, "I can't. I have to finish whatever I start."
So whenever I make dinner, I never plate Reagan or Heather's dinners. Well, let me rephrase that. I seldomly plate their dinners.
Okay.
There are some things that I do still plate, but they're both very particular about it. They don't like different foods touching each other.
What?
Yeah.
So like a casserole is just, that's too much for them.
Well, that's the weird thing, because there are plenty of casseroles that they love.
But they don't want like the chicken touching the mashed potatoes and having the gravy spill over onto the
If you make
that's
like,
too much.
If you make like steak and mashed potatoes, the steak has to be like a certain distance from the mashed potatoes, you know, like, and if they want to put gravy on the potatoes, it probably has to be even further because they don't want the gravy touching the steak.
Can I suggest something for you?
Of course.
That would be freaking awesome and hilarious if you do.
Wait, because I have a hilarious story, so continue.
You need to buy some plastic cafeteria trays.
See, Nick, this is why we do this podcast. This is why this podcast is the flagship podcast. of the Nerd Legion Network, and I'm going to tell you why right now. Because we do have, what are they called? They're not like compartmentalized plates. What are they called? You know what I'm talking about?
Those plates. Yeah, like
they have
they're
three
like
compartment.
Yeah, sectioned off, like
sectioned
third,
plates.
Third,
there
third. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do own those with those kind of plates.
Oh
now,
my god!
They don't make grown up plates that way.
No, of course not.
But we do have plastic reusable plates that are like that.
Serving them their food every meal in that, and I would just get a kick out of it every time.
It's a funny story. I would say maybe like 60% of the time they do use those plates.
So they even know themselves, like, you know what? Instead of my brain cracking, I would rather like to put all the mashed potatoes and gravy in quadrant 1-2.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. I hate it. I hate it.
Does it make you want to play with your food even more? Like, I'm going to mix the corn with the mashed potatoes. Watch me go.
No, it's not even that. Like, I can, if I'm eating a formal meal, like if I'm eating dinner, I have to eat dinner on a plate, like a real plate.
Okay? Opposed to what?
As opposed to like a paper plate.
Well, yeah, you're not a savage. You eat off regular plates.
See?
What are you, a caveman?
Again, this is why you and I do this podcast, this flagship podcast. Ooh. Because that's exactly what I tell my wife.
And she'd eat off paper plates if it was up to her?
Absolutely.
Is it because she doesn't want to do the dishes?
Well, I mean, we've got a dishwasher.
But still. Ever broke that down with her? I would love to know what's going through that head of hers.
Maybe we should have Heather on and discuss our plating habits in this home.
You know what I'm curious if it possibly is? Because my guess is it isn't the dishwasher. Could it be the sound? Because I've had a couple people that are this way. Could it be the sound of the silverware scraping on the actual plate, where a paper plate really doesn't make that sound?
Funny you say that. Reagan has that problem.
See? There's some people that have that.
Yeah. She hates it. It's like for me, it's the chalk on a chalkboard thing.
Yeah, fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, fingernails on a chalkboard. Like hers, it's like utensils on a plate.
Yeah, I ain't making fun of her. I mean, it's definitely something that I wonder, is it something that is growing with Heather, or has she always been this way?
Well, I mean, ever since we've been together, she's been this way.
Yeah, I'm just curious when it picked up. Yeah. Because I know with me, like, my OCD gets worse and worse and worse with age.
Yeah.
But like, and I don't know if you were on the open bar last night when I was talking about Ginger.
Nope. Like, I came in later.
Okay, I'm one of the, like, there's a certain percentage of humans that no matter what the amount of ginger is, if you eat ginger, like, ginger is hot to your palate. Hmm. Not, like, overbearing, like, oh, my God, my mouth's on fire. No, it's just hot. There's heat there. Where a lot of people get that when you eat, like, ginger cookies that have a lot of ginger in it, then people will taste that warmth. Where for me, it's always like, whoa, was there some ginger in that? Holy mackerel, that, like, it's intense to me. So I wonder if, like, that's always been with me. I wonder if Heather, it's always been with her. Like, the food thing, or is her parents, like, drilling that into her head? Like, don't mix this with this. No, 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 you don't do that.
No,
I don't know. It had to come from somewhere.
Yeah, it had to come from somewhere. Yeah, I don't know, it's weird. And see, the thing is, like, I don't know, when I grew up, you know, we just ate whatever we were given. I grew up in an Italian family, so my mom's family is Basque and Spanish, and my dad's family is just straight up Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his mom is Portuguese, but everybody else is Italian or half Portuguese or something, whatever. And so the thing was, for me, with those sides of the family, it was bad because when you get your plate, you're giving a lot of food. Okay.
Mm.
That's just the way it works. If you're Spanish or Italian, you just get given a shit ton of food.
Sure.
That's rule number one.
Are you obligated to eat all that food?
So rule number two is you have to finish your plate.
I'm like in your head today.
You have to finish your plate.
Yes.
So as an extrapolation of that, can you guess what rule number three is?
You have to have seconds.
You are absolutely right, Nick. See?
Yeah, I figured that would go that way. I figured that would go that way. So a smorgasbord, like something is broken in your head.
Sure.
Like you can't just do the filthy American pile up like 4 inches worth of food knowing you're never ever going to eat it all, but you want to taste it all.
Sure.
Like in your head, you're like, no, I have to finish it all. And then I might go back for seconds of the stuff I really liked.
No, see, you don't even think that because you're trained from so small that you automatically just reach out for seconds.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
See, I know plenty of people that come from large families, and this is where I thought you were going to go, that come from large families. And when you're not the oldest, when you're closer to the youngest, it is eating for survival. So you learn to eat as quickly as possible because everyone else will edge you out of getting enough food because you're the youngest.
Well, no, it's not even that. Like, you eat quickly. I mean, my wife makes fun of me all the time because I eat so fast. But the thing is, like, it's not like a gluttony thing. It's just a cultural thing. Because if you eat it quickly, it must mean that it's really good. And therefore, it's a compliment to whoever made the meal.
Mm.
You see what I mean? It's like if you go to Japan, if you don't slurp your ramen noodles, you're a fucking asshole. See what I'm saying? Like, it's the same kind of thing.
Sure. I like it.
Which is bad because I hate broth in my...
Oh, not good.
Yeah.
That's the best part, supposedly.
Supposedly. We've tried to do it. I want to get some, like, good ramen noodles, though.
Same here. I'm dying to get some good ramen noodles, but the problem is... Me being in the suburbs of Chicago, I could find awesome ramen going into Chicago. But then I'm going into the big city for freaking ramen. Like, but out in the suburbs, good luck. Good luck.
Well, but so like my wife and I went to Fresh Market. And nice. This all ties into the blue cheese. See, this is why we're flagship, Nick.
Ugh.
Because you see, I'm tying in a story from 20 minutes ago.
I like it.
So we went to Fresh Market to buy some things because My wife has always had refined tastes, but I would say especially
she's a refined girl.
Sure.
Yeah.
But especially since we've been together, I brought in some of that pinky up, as they say, to her palate.
Nice.
And so we love trying new things. And the girls don't, and I understand that because
I don't know if the girls don't.
No, I mean, like, the girls like certain types of sushi and stuff, so don't get me wrong. But like,
as well as how many girls, your youngest age, how many girls are eating seaweed, for God's sakes?
Oh, dude, Reagan's got like a box of seaweed in her room.
I know. I'm just saying, that's impressive. Like, trust me, I could show you my brother's kids that are 16 and 13, and they have no refined palate. Like, they are not adventurous. One of them won't even eat like a hamburger if it has too much of a grill mark on it. Like, they are effing picky. But my brother was picky when he was growing up, so learned behavior.
See, I wonder though, because I mean, I didn't have a refined. I don't think anybody's got a refined palate when they're children.
No, but also your parents really. I mean, that's the barometer.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, my grandmother would be like, "Here's oyster dressing." And I would just be like, I like dressing during Thanksgiving. And I completely negated that, oh my God, what are oysters and why are they in there? I just ate it because it was stuffing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I remember growing up and going to these family barbecues where they would slaughter like a whole cow.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the family barbecues were like, you know, 80 people.
So all of a sudden you're eating lengua and you don't even know what part of the cow that is.
Oh,
you're
absolutely.
Like, wow, this has a cool texture to it. This tastes pretty good.
No, absolutely. We had tongue all the time. Like liver, like cow brain, like fish eyeball soup, like all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Because I mean, if you're feeding 80 people of a cow, like, you're going to make every fucking piece of the cow. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. And as long as your parents aren't, oh, Martin, don't eat that, it's an eyeball, then you're just going to eat it because mom and dad's eating it.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? But if your mother's like, oh, I hate the smell of fish. Oh my God, it turns my stomach. Every time I smell it, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Guess what? I'm pretty sure Martin will hate fish growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And that's my brother's kids.
Well, and that's funny though, because we didn't eat a whole lot of fish. So when we were growing up, fish was kind of more expensive than other meats.
For sure.
And so we ate a lot of beef, not a lot of chicken, because chicken was more expensive also.
Yeah, it was pork or beef.
Yeah, pork or beef. And for us, it was mostly beef.
Mm-hmm.
But as I got older, I mean, we still ate fish. Matter of fact, my parents, we didn't have a car growing up. So we walked everywhere, and on the way home from church, there was a fishmonger stand. And so we would stop at the fishmonger and get like fillets of fish.
Jeez.
Sounds like I lived in the 40s, but I guarantee you.
No, but you're talking to a guy who lived only in the suburbs.
Sure.
So the only way I've ever heard of a fishmonger is on TV shows talking about, in Seattle, you go to the fishmonger and they chop it right up for you, and here it is in a bag.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, I never got that.
Yeah.
I got fresh fish if my grandfather went out fishing and then brought it over to us. Like, that's it. And honest to God, and back in the day when I was growing up, I don't think unless my grandfather provided it, we would only have fish that was out of a can.
Oh, see, that's so funny, because I'm really picky about that.
Same here. I'm disgusted. It's hard for me to eat any salmon or tuna at this point, because I've just been grown up with chicken from the sea and salmon from a can. Like, ugh. And every time I smell it, honest to God, like, you want to make me Ralph? Just open up like tuna from a can and leave out the can. I will instantly vomit.
So I don't mind the tuna from a can so much. Because in high school, I was in the wrestling team, and I did track and all kinds of stuff.
Instant protein.
I ate a ton of tuna.
Sure.
Like every day I would go and I'd have like 6 cans of tuna and like a quart of skim milk. And then whatever else I was eating, you know what I'm saying? Just mm-hmm. the extra protein. Mm-hmm. So the canned tuna doesn't bother me. But like, so in the South where I'm at, it's, like crab cakes or like salmon cakes are really big.
Yeah. Right?
Like everyone makes them. And for some reason, their favorite thing to do is make salmon patties out of canned salmon.
Yep. My mom did that.
And I grew up eating like, I'm not fresh, obviously, because it's like an Arctic fish. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, getting like salmon fillets.
Yeah.
So to see people get like canned salmon, to me, is like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I know like people listening would be like, oh my God, these fucking hipsters.
Ah, that's okay. This is our childhood.
This is our childhood.
This is what made us. But, and to be honest with you, when my mom did the salmon cakes,
yeah,
she would make them. And I've told you stories about my mom cooking things until they flaked off. Like meat would flake off from a fork. It would just flake off. It's like a chalk at that point. And same with her salmon cake. She would just like throw it onto a griddle, fry it up, and even not even just to get like a nice, like crispy golden brown crust on both sides. It would be black. And then she would serve it, and my dad would sit there until all of us ate all of it. So it would just be so, like, burned. It just would have that horrible burn taste to it. And I remember eating that, God, at least every Friday of Lent, and then, like, we would at least have it once a month, if not more. So that's where I'm just like, nope, don't ever want a crab cake again. If it's a fillet of salmon, okay. But any cake form, I could eat crab cake now, but not a salmon cake.
I can eat crab cakes. If they don't tell me where the crab meat comes from, it doesn't mean. That's another thing too. Like I don't give a shit. Like if you don't tell me where something comes from, if it tastes good, I'll eat it. You know what I'm saying?
Same here.
Like I don't care if it's fucking donkey balls. I'll eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I will actually eat your donkey balls. Episode title.
I will do that, especially with cheese. I don't care what animal that milk's from. Just give that to me.
All right, so I got to tell you this cheese story. So as I was saying, we went to the Fresh Market. And I don't know if you guys have Fresh Market in Chicago, do you?
We have something called Pete's Fresh Market.
Okay, no, this is just Fresh Market.
Okay. No, we have like Whole Foods.
It's the same kind of thing. It's like Whole Foods.
Yeah, it's like hippie market.
I'm pretty sure Fresh Market, I don't think Fresh Market's local. I want to say it's a chain.
Okay.
But it might be like just in the South.
Gotcha.
Matter of fact, they were here before Whole Foods even came to the area.
Mm.
Okay. Anyway, so we went to Fresh Market. The only reason we went there and not Whole Foods is because it's closer. That's all.
Gotcha.
It's like, I don't know, 4 exits closer. So, and coincidentally, it's literally a walk to the comic book.
But, oh, perfect.
Yes. So, we went to the Fresh Market. And I like it. It's just like Whole Foods, but smaller. And we just went there to walk around. Like, Reagan was at my in-law's house. Zoe was at her mom's. It was just my wife and I. And we just wanted to get some stuff. Because one thing we like to do is, when there's no kids at home, mm-hmm. we like to get some food that we know the kids would never eat.
Sure.
So went to the Fresh Market and we're walking around and like, oh my God, Nick, I got these freaking mushrooms that were so delicious.
Huh.
They've got, you know, like you can go to any place and get mushrooms, but, you just get like the little, like the typical, whatever they're called. What are they called? Like the normal mushrooms. Like,
button mushrooms, yeah, like brown button mushrooms. There you go. Yeah.
You get like a little tub of buttons. Like these were like, this was like a tub of like chanterelles.
Ooh.
And like, it was like a mushroom mix.
The fancy ones.
Yeah. But it wasn't, it was cheap as hell. It was like $3 for this tub of mushrooms.
I don't doubt it.
So I was like, you know what? That's cheaper than you can get anywhere else. We're going to get like 30 of these. So we didn't do that. We got a couple. but oh my God, they were so good.
Oh, I bet.
Like I started eating them in the car on the way home. Just raw. But then I got home and I made some. And I put it in this thing. We're not going to talk about this thing that I made today. But God, it was so good. Anyway, so we got this chanterelle mushroom mix, and around, we looked at bread, and in the center of it, they've got a cooking area. Because you can actually get like meals prepared by the Fresh Market.
Nice.
They don't deliver them to your house, but you can go and just pick up your meals for the week.
Wow, great.
But surrounding this area,
hold on before you leave that.
Yeah.
How pricey, like, you buy all the groceries, let's say $50 worth.
Sure.
If you were to take them to the center and be like, here's my groceries, do it up for my meals for the week. Thank you. I'll see you in however long. How much would they charge you to actually do all that?
I don't think you can take the ingredients.
I don't know. I mean, you just told me they would do meals for you for the week. I don't know how it's done.
No. Yeah. Okay. So they've got like in one of the sections, there's a menu. Because you can get like cold cuts and stuff in the center section also.
Okay.
You can get your cheeses and stuff in this.
So is this a place that's like, come by Tuesday because it's Meatloaf Tuesday. You can pick up a meatloaf.
I mean, there is that. There's like an olive bar and like things like that there. There's a cheese bar. The only thing, like, this is in the center of the store. There is a separate section, like right across it. There's is where like the bakery is. And there is like a fresh meat section, right? So we can get like your freshly ground beef, and like whatever else. Like,
great.
That's where you get your seafood. Like, you want shrimp or salmon or whatever.
Sure.
And there's like, you know, like bourbon salmon steaks already made for you or whatever. I mean, you have to cook them, but like they're pre-spiced and whatever.
Marinated.
Yeah, marinated. The section in the center is like cheeses and cold cuts, things like that, plus is where they make these meals. And I don't know like exactly what the plans is if you do it for like the whole week. But we looked at it because we saw the olive bar and I was like, we need to get some of this.
Yeah.
They have like pickled artichokes and like all these different kinds of olives. And we love that kind of stuff. And and so
sounds like you're getting ready to make a charcuterie board.
But they had a board, and I think that's like $10 to $12. So it's a little more expensive than like HelloFresh or something like that.
Okay.
But the difference is like it's local. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, for sure. They're trying to stand out from everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, smart.
But like I would say 60% of this circle they make meals.
Mm-hmm.
Is cheese like on the on the outsides?
Nice.
And I love cheese. My wife knows.
And is there a cheesemonger there? Like, can you just walk up to the person and be like, "I wonder what this tastes like"?
Funny you should say that. There is a cheesemonger there.
Oh, that's the best. Okay.
So we're looking at cheeses, and there's this like cranberry something.
Mm-hmm.
And Heather wants to try it, so she hands the little block to the lady, and she's like, "Hey, can we sample this?" And she's like, "Of course." So she opens it up and we each get a little piece of this cranberry cheese. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't check what it was. I know it had cranberries in it, but it was really good. We ended up not buying it. Well, I'll get to that in a second.
Can I ask you a real quick question when you're taste testing like this?
Oh yeah, of course.
I know both of us, we're not million zillionaires over here by no means.
Not even close.
But I never feel bad tasting. There's never guilt that comes over me like, well, that person did me a solid. I really need to buy that.
No, absolutely not.
But I will say, if I'm over the moon, especially with cheese, I don't even hear when they're like, oh, and this is $10 for a quarter of a pound. Like, I could care less. I'm like, I need that cheese. Whatever that price is, whatever. I need that cheese.
Funny you say that. We're definitely in sync tonight. So let me continue.
So we
tried this cranberry cheese. It was delicious. I don't like fruity things and my cheeses. But this cheese was really fucking good.
Okay.
So we're talking to the lady and she's telling us about cheese and this and that. Like, that's a good thing. They're really knowledgeable about the food that's there.
Isn't that great?
Of course. So she's telling us about this cheese. And my wife's like, yeah, because my husband loves blue cheese. I think the lady was trying to butter me up because the next thing to come out of her mouth is, well, you know, people that like blue cheeses, generally have a more sophisticated palate.
Oh.
And I said, huh, go on. But so me and this lady start talking about blue cheese. And I love blue cheese. I've tried dozens of different kinds of blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And like if I go somewhere and it's at a reasonable price, I'll buy it.
Sure.
Cause, like, I'll just crumble it up and put it in my salad. Like, that's my, and I wouldn't even put dressing on it. Maybe like olive oil. Whatever. That's,
yeah.
I mean, it's blue cheese. It's pungent.
Yeah.
You don't need dressing.
Dressing's only going to mask the pungent.
It's going to make it worse.
Yeah.
So anyways, we're talking about blue cheese and she's like, talking about, the sophisticated palate thing.
Did you look over at Heather and go, see Heather, sophisticated palate?
Well, and she's talking about like earthy, like people that like earthy flavors and this and that and the other. And, she asked me like what my kind of blue cheese is. And I tell her, which is Roquefort. And, it's like, if you like Roquefort, you need to try this.
Ooh.
And so she points over to the little section where, and I look at it and like, it just looked like blue cheese at first. Just like, and she tells me this whole story, right? Cause of course they're super fancy. You gotta have your pinky up. So it's, she's like, yeah, this cheese, it's made in Spain, in like caves. And what they do is they wrap, after they make the cheese, they wrap it in like sycamore maple leaves and they store them in these caves in the mountains. Because the cave has, like, she went through the whole thing. Like, it was really impressive how much she knew about this cheese. So I ended up buying a block of this cheese.
Yeah.
It's a Valdion blue cheese.
Oh.
It's made in, Asturias. Valdion. Is I think they call them departments, like a state.
Ooh. Ooh.
But it's made in the mountains there in the caves. And Nick, let me tell you, she pointed at the cheese. Here's what happened. Okay. She's buttering me up about my sophisticated palate.
Yeah.
She points down at the cheese. I was telling you about the caves. And I look down at the cheese as she's talking. And I pick up the block of cheese. And I instantly fell in love. Because there's one good thing. If you like blue cheese, and I know a lot of people don't like blue cheese because it stinks. Some people don't like blue cheese because of the mold.
Yeah, the veins.
Yeah. But I picked up this cheese. And the veins on it were just gorgeous. But you know how like really good cheeses still have that little crust on the outside?
Yeah.
Okay. So this Valdion blue cheese has that crust. But let me tell you, Nick, I guarantee you, if this was like an entire block, right? Like a whole round block of this blue cheese before they cut it to pieces. I guarantee you, if somebody saw that cheese, it would be like, you need to throw that in the trash because it looks like somebody shit on it.
You're phasing in and out.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I don't know. You'd have to be talking for me to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, the last half was good. Huh. You were digitized till then.
We're going to talk about that in a second. I know what that problem is.
Well, we might have to cut this episode short and go, you could tell me after.
Okay. So anyway, so the crust on this blue cheese.
Yeah.
It looks like literally somebody just like threw a turd at the cheese and smeared it all over. Because like the crust on the cheese is literally molding.
Yes.
And like it doesn't look very appetizing, but if like cheese is your thing, you're like, hell yeah, this is good.
Yeah, I've even got my wife at this point when we go to farmers markets and grab cheese. And of course, there's no preservatives in it. It's pretty, I mean, uber fresh. She'll keep it in the fridge. And she used to throw it out as soon as she saw mold. And now she'll even be like, well, your cheese is moldy, but I know you're going to cut off that little bit and you're going to eat around it. So I'm not going to touch that. And I'm like, very good. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, apparently, like, this cheese, you have to keep it. If you have any other kind of dairy product in your refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
you have to keep it sealed in a Ziploc bag.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, the strain of penicillium that is in this cheese is like it loves to just procreate. And so if there's any other kind of dairy product in your refrigerator, it'll just have this penicillium in it. Which is fine by me. I mean, like, that's an antibiotic. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't care.
It's your own Z-Pack in that milk.
There you go. Now you get it.
Yeah. Hey, just to let you know, to piggyback on your story.
Yeah.
Saturday we went out. The wife was actually feeling really good, so we went out. Did a little bocce ball.
Oh, nice.
Had a fantastic beer at this, you know, it's like a bocce bowling place, but, you know, it was really nice. We're nicely done. Went, had a fantastic lunch, had a really, like, there's this one place called Stan's Donuts that was from California. Now they're in Chicago, and now they opened up a location in the burbs. So we went there and had a fancy donut. And then on the way back, she goes, you know, the one thing that could top it off is if we go by, there's this place that's very similar to your place called Standard Market out in Westmont. On our way home, we drive sort of by it. And she goes, it'd be really nice if we could just go to Standard Market and get one of their cheese and like one of their little like charcuterie boards with the cheese and the preserved meats and the... And she goes, and then we could just sit there and have a couple beers and just relax. And remember when we did that? That was so much fun. And I was like, yeah, let's go. And she goes, we just ate an hour ago. We can't go have cheese. So then when we got home, a couple hours later, we were watching Electric Dreams. And she was like, we should do up a little cheese and cracker board of our own.
Oh,
I know, it was so good. What you can easily find in your house, you know, a couple apples and some spiced nuts and, you know, cheese and crackers with a little balsamic vinegar and red pepper jelly. Like, it was all good. So many different flavors.
Yeah, that's funny. I want to talk about Electric Dreams since you brought it up. I want to know what you guys thought, but I want to talk about this cheese thing. All right, so what did you have on the? Did you actually like cut up some cheeses and meats and stuff, or?
We cut up four different kinds of cheese. We had six different kinds of crackers, balsamic vinegar glaze, red pepper jelly.
Oh man!
Apples and grapes. Oh, and we also had spiced nuts, which my wife has a recipe for. It's just pecans that are spiced, which are phenomenal because there's almost like a toffee texture to them.
Really?
Because they caramelize in the oven. So they're actually real crunchy. They're really nice. Really easy to do too. And we had I'm salivating. And we had those along with some not candied, but those, what are they? They're like cranberries that are like dehydrated, almost like lemons, or almost like raisins.
Yeah, they're good.
It's just a whole like texture and like different.
Yeah, we get the we get those to put in salads.
Yeah. There you go. We were just finding stuff up in our cupboard that was just like, oh, let's put this on. Oh, let's put this on.
Well, you should have gone down to the French market and gotten some salami.
Oh yes, that would have been nice.
Let me tell you. Before anybody listening to this says, salami, what the fuck? Let me tell you, if you're saying salami, what the fuck, you don't have the right salami.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go to like an Italian store where it's just like salami's hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, butcher.
Yeah, butcher would have. And get one of those salami. Don't get like this Oscar Mayer salami shit.
No.
That's some bullshit right there.
Yeah, that's not Hickory Farms. That ain't good salami.
No, that ain't salami. You want salami? You go to like a fresh market or a butcher, Italian shop.
Yeah,
I'm sure Whole Foods has real salami
for sure.
Dude, like real salami, like that's worth.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that.
We used to do that on Sundays if we weren't going to the family barbecue. When we got home from church, my parents would do a cheese and meat plate.
Ooh,
so it'd just be nice. like Ritz crackers, different kinds of cheeses, like real salami. I'm trying to think if they had any other meats. I don't know. It might have just been salami now that I think. But we always had that.
My mom was big on the Braunschweiger, German liver paste. Oh, it's so good. Now I could go have some. Let's go get some salami.
We had you know, that's funny because my dad loved the it's called mortadella. So you've had it.
Oh hell yeah!
All right, so for anyone that's never heard the term, it's kind of like what's the German word? It's not bloodwurst. Bloodwurst. That's what it is. It's a blood sausage. And let me tell you, I've tried to get Heather to try some of these, but she's like, if there's blood in it, I'm not gonna eat it. And listen, I don't blame her. Like, I'm not gonna make her eat.
It's how you're raised.
Oh my god, dude. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Because I grew up eating like beef liver.
Yeah.
My dad used to make beef liver with like from scratch with a barbecue sauce, just like you know, like ketchup and the brown sugar, vinegar, and stuff like that. And you make the barbecue sauce from scratch as you're making the beef liver in the pan. And so like all the flavors are just coming in at once. Let me tell you, it's a different kind of liver.
For sure.
Anyways.
Yeah, that's all good. Yeah, that was same here. Oh my gosh. I could go for some of that.
Here's the thing.
And it has the little like peppercorns in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh.
And the way that you know that you have good salami is if it has the little crust on the outside.
Yeah.
Because people don't know this, but it was to dry the meat and hang it from the ceiling and it ferments. So you're not eating the salami for like it's got to hang up in the on the ceiling for like a month or two before you eat it.
It's so old school.
So good.
But then it just intensifies the flavor.
Well, and that's the thing. Matter of fact, my wife and I were talking about fermented foods the other day because I told you Reagan's been having some stomach issues, and so Heather's like, we need to give her some probiotics, and I was like, why would you do that? I've got fermented kimchi in the refrigerator. just give her some kimchi. You know what I'm saying? But there's not like a lot of fermented foods like kimchi, salami, yogurts. See, I love that kind of stuff. It's just like full of bacteria. I worry about the gross people. All right, let's talk about Electric Dreams, Nick.
We should wrap up our food episode.
Oh.
But one suggestion that I'm going to throw out to you. Yes. Maybe you can find it on Audible. I'm not sure.
You mean Audible or sponsor Audible?
Yes. Yes. I haven't.
Where you can go and get a free book for you to keep and a free trial for 30 days at nerdylegion.com/audible.
Mm-hmm.
That one?
Just click on the icon.
All right. Continue.
There is. This will wrap up our food talk. There is an author, I think his name is Mark, and it's with a K, Kuransky, and he's a nonfiction writer, but the one book that drew me into his writing style was The History of Salt.
Oh, and it is, yes.
It's a biography on salt and back in the day, like during the Pharaoh's time, salt was more praised and like held than gold. Like its value was like higher than gold. Mm-hmm. And he goes through like salt as a preservative, salt through the entire history of salt, how it made its way around the world, where it was discovered. It's fascinating book, and it's a thin read. It's really good. Yep. But he also does a book about, I believe it's trout, like the extinction of the trout.
Yeah, cod.
Cod along the eastern seaboard.
Yep.
And it is fat. Like all of his books are just fascinating. But The History of Salt is jaw-dropping. It is so good.
Yeah, I read, so as I said in this episode, my mom's mom, our family is Basque, which for anybody that hasn't heard it, it's a little region in between Spain and France. And technically, they're independent from both Spain and France. And there's like a bunch of mythology about the Basque, because their language isn't like any other language in the rest of Europe. So there's like myths about them being like the original inhabitants. But anyways, Mark Polanski did the Basque History of the World, which I read, I don't know how long ago. It's been years. I don't even know how old that book is. Basque History of the World. And it was freaking awesome. But yeah, he did Cod, about the extinction of Cod. Salt, which is about the history of humanity, like their dependence of salt, and it's freaking fantastic. He did one on paper, similar to Salt. I want to say, I thought he had a new book out, but I could be wrong. Maybe not. Oh, you know what? No, never mind. I picked up another book because it was like Salt.
Yes. Yeah, he's a great writer.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Salt, dude, mm-hmm. Salt is fantastic.
Yeah, highly recommend.
Yeah, I agree. If you want to read it, you can read it for free at nerdylegion.com/audible.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that's so good.
Yeah. Well, this was a fantastic episode. You want to wrap it up?
Let's wrap it up. You can find Nick at Nick Wetmore. I am at Geekvine. The show is at Nerdylegion. And of course, nerdylegion.com is the website. Head on over. Get more podcasts. This was fun. I love the food episodes, bro. I'm glad you and I are like, bing, bing, bing.
Same here.
Anyways, that's it. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.